Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
And also, by the way, it is, ladies and gentlemen, it is National Radio Day. And so starting at the crossover, we had some fun with this, and maybe a little bit later on, some more stories for you. And yes, it was I wouldn't know you if not for for radio. And you wouldn't
Correct.
Know me. And that was fun, kind of going down memory lane earlier. Maybe we'll do it again a little bit later on in the show. But Jim in Oakland wants to weigh in on the Juwan Jennings situation. Hi, Jim. What are you doing? Thanks for calling.
Hey, fellas. How you doing? I'm just driving home from work, and I never thought I'd say this, but I had to call in and agree with you, Mr. Willard.
Oh!
110%. Yes, indeed. You're 100% on point with the fact that you need to realize that you're going to get your ass cut after you sign a contract if you get hurt, number one. Number two, everybody's got to get over the fact that these NFL players make what they make. And if you want to look at a relative cop that would actually kind of put things in perspective, think of Brandon Ayuk. If he listened to all you guys, reported, blew out his knee last year, where do you think he would be this year trying to get a contract? That's it.
It's a great point. Guys. Yeah, Jim, thanks. And I hate to sort of like jump in that boat because I have all kinds of opinions about the Ayuk situation and
how you hated it.
Well, the Niners misplayed it. Yeah, they absolutely misplayed the whole thing, and I hate the way that all went down. But it is a wonderful, wonderful comp. Do you remember how many people called this radio station and said, "Damn it, Brandon, why don't you just play on the final year of your deal? Why don't you bet on yourself?" How many of you Kuminga followers right now are doing that? Just bet on yourself, dude. It's gonna work out. And what would Brandon have made this offseason if he had gone out there and leg explodes week six? He would have lost, I mean, millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. Now, I know that's not a perfect comp because we're talking about someone who has already re-signed a contract in Juwan Jennings.
Ah, there it is.
As opposed to Brandon Ayuk. But no, but that doesn't really change the fact that when you're in the NFL, your contracts are not guaranteed. You can be cut, and you're coming up on the final year of your deal. This is not an unprecedented thing. We're acting like...
Of course it's not unprecedented.
I mean, this is all over the league right now.
Yeah.
This is Trey Hendrickson.
Trey Hendrickson, exactly.
Is he supposed to show up? Is he, hey, you signed a deal, dude. You signed a deal. So let's go. Get your butt into camp.
Yeah.
Start banging helmets. Let's go.
I mean,
is he
you
supposed
don't
to?
Have to. It's not about supposed to, and it's not about what you are contractually obligated to do. And, you know, Juwan Jennings is injured. He's got a calf that is...
Maybe.
Well, that's what they're telling us. Kyle
they
Shanahan
haven't told
has
us
said
that in a week.
Shanahan has said that he saw it and he saw the calf. And so he said that based on the imaging,
yes,
however long ago that was, that there was an injury. And you're right. Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, Trey Hendrickson, none of these guys, quote unquote, has to show up. Just because you're under contract and just because you've already been paid out some $6 million in a signing bonus. When you got that $6 million signing bonus, you were all happy to sign that and show up and get your money, and that's great. And then you had a wonderful year that was circumstantial, and the circumstances were you threw it more than normal, you didn't have other receivers who were good, you put up good numbers, and your team wasn't very good. So now, after that, well, now I want to get more money because I had a good year. So you're allowed to go there and do it, and the team's allowed to say, no, you signed a contract. We gave you $6 million in a signing bonus, so now you're going to come back to us? I'm not denying him his right to do whatever he wants, and you have a contract, so do I. I can decide tomorrow that, well, I'm off tomorrow, but Monday, I can decide, you know what? I'm not happy with my contract. Yeah. I'm not coming back until they do right by me.
Well, that's not
and this
well
company
you, but,
can say, oh, okay.
No, I know.
Turns out Mark Grandy's really good.
I know, so you're explaining what each side has a right to do. I guess that, like, I understand that. I'm just saying that I hear a lot of people criticizing Juwan for this, and I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair. This is it is an odd dynamic that exists in sports media, and sports fandom, which is that we get mad at the player when these disagreements happen, but we never get mad at the owner. And then we'll say things about the player like $8 million is not enough for you.
What's to get mad at the owner right now in this situation?
Okay, well, it's not just this situation. We're bringing up Trey Hendrickson, Micah Parsons, for example. What's to get mad at the owner for? You are not taking care of players who have played well for you and deserve something. Now, if you don't think that applies to Juwan, that's fine. I'm not saying you have a crazy opinion, but Juwan is not the one or the only one who deserves to be criticized here. So many of you are lined up to say you signed a deal, now be there. And none of you are there to say that when a player gets, like, who's got Brian Robinson's back right now? He's got a contract,
right?
But the Commanders are going to cut him. Why is that okay? Why is that okay? And it's not okay for the player to say, listen, I think that this deal is a little out of alignment right now, and I'd like it to be reviewed. That's really all he's saying. So if you don't agree and you don't think the Niners should do anything, good on you. That's cool. But I don't think Juwan's done anything that deserves criticism. I really don't.
I don't know if it's necessarily criticism, but if I'm the 49ers, you're not Trey Hendrickson, you're not Micah Parsons, you're not Brandon Ayuk, you're not Nick Bosa, you're Juwan Jennings. You had a good year. You had a good year for a bad team.
Had more than a good year.
Well, you can use whatever word you want.
He's been a very good player.
He's been good.
Yes.
He's been a good player.
Seventh round draft pick.
Sixth doesn't matter where you were drafted.
No, it doesn't.
That ship has sailed.
But he's a very good player.
He's a good player.
Who proved last year that he's better than we thought he was.
Okay, great. So when your contract is up and you have that year in a contract year, we will reward you, or you can go out there in the open market. Just because you had a good year on a bad team, we went 6-11 with your good year. Does that mean we got to give you $17 million a year?
It does not, but I think you're dismissing the physicality of this sport.
So I'm not at all.
Well, yeah, you are, because people are saying, like, you're not a free agent. So you have to wait till you're a free agent. Well, you know what? One of my feet might be turned the other way by then. So I got to ask now. Like that, I think that's totally fair. And none of us can walk in those shoes. You've talked to these people. I've talked to these people. We've hosted with these people. Call Lowe and ask what he thinks. This is freaking unbelievably excruciating pain. Every week, every year, they dread showing up to camp because they know how much it hurts. And I'm not playing a violin for them. They signed up for it. But the nature of the physicality of the sport is why owners are allowed to cut you before your deal's up, because no one wants to guarantee 5 years like they do in the NBA or MLB, because they know damn well there's a high likelihood you ain't going to make it to the end of that.
Exactly.
So same, it's got to go the other way then too. You cannot tell someone you signed your deal, even though it's out of whack. You have to show up, and put your body through that again. Sorry, too bad. Tough nuts. Like
he doesn't have to show up and do that.
Well, but then he doesn't get any money at all.
Well, there you go. So like, what do you want, Juwan?
I want a middle ground.
Right. Well, the middle ground
I just want Juwan to not be criticized. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know if it's criticism, and I'm not necessarily criticizing him. I'm just saying that when you sign a contract and you agree to a 2-year deal and you get a boatload of money up front in a signing bonus, we have to also remember that.
Of course. The team
broke you off a nice, handsome signing bonus for you to be here for 2 years. And year one, yeah, you were well beyond what your annual salary was. So good for both of us. Good for you because you're 1 year away from being a free agent. And if you do it again, then you're going to get the massive money you want. What are you supposed to do about Brock Purdy? And I know contractually you couldn't give him money before the time that you did, but Brian Robinson's an interesting one.
Meet in the middle is all I'm saying. Like, if you keep bringing up this, like, oh, because he probably would. If you're on the open market right now, he might command $15 to $17 million. I don't think the Niners can or should do that. But, like, is there something? Can you? Hey, how you doing, dude? Like, great year.
Right.
Like, can you?
So then
there's
the next guy who has a good year,
well,
then it's like, hey, you did it for all these other guys. Can you do it for me?
And they all do that. There's no NFL
and the Niners
player.
Don't always give them the money, which is why Mooney Ward is gone.
Like, this is such an under the covers thing because no one even really remembers it. Do you remember when Raheem Mostert did this? And Raheem Mostert is not as good as Juwan Jennings. But they used him a lot, and he had a massive game in the NFC title game. And he came back, and I think he was making about $1.5 million. And they were like, dude, Raheem Mostert is requesting a trade. And it was on Twitter, and people were laughing at the agent. They're like, Raheem Mostert is requesting a trade? Fine, we'll use Jeff Wilson. Whatever, dude. Matt Breed is here. What are you talking about? But do you know what the Niners did? Something. They didn't do nothing. And I don't even know exactly what the number was. They guaranteed something. They lopped another $1 million on there or something. Just let, like reward the guy. And again, I'm not even here. I'm not saying the Niners are doing anything wrong. I've said a number of times in this conversation, I see both sides. I just do not like the concept of fans lining up to be like, I hate it when guys won't honor their contract. When nobody ever says boo when the owners don't honor the contract. They don't.
Well, they don't have to.
Right.
And that's the nature of the Players Association and the league, and that's where the players kind of screwed up to where they don't have the leverage. And in football, you're not going to have the leverage. And if you want to go across the league and talk about how many players can actually hold their team's feet to the fire, the number is about, percentage-wise, about 2%.
A lot of guys do it.
Or 3%.
Did Ayuk not do it?
Right. And I don't know if he actually was that player, but he got the Niners to blink. They overpaid him. He got hurt. They dealt Debo. And now where are we, Niners?
Yeah.
You screwed it up.
Well, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I think that's the point.
Like, and the Brian Robinson one's a great case because he is set to make about $3 million this year. And they have a guy that they drafted, and they have Austin Eckler on the team. And so, like, whatever, B-Rob, go ahead and fold your arms and pout in the corner, and we're going to be all right.
No, I think they think someone else is better. That's kind of the point. So they're like, let's get rid of him now before he asks for a raise in a year. I get it, but he's got a contract, and Washington is about to tear it in half. So we're sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change this Labor Day weekend. Be road trip ready with Valvoline Instant Oil Change. No appointment needed. Stay in your car while they change your oil and check your tires, battery, and fluids before you head down the coast or over the Golden Gate. Visit BayAreaOilChange.com. Okay, 888-957-9570. We will keep taking calls. It is National Radio Day. We'll have some fun. But coming up next, boy, isn't this the key question that I think should be asked right now? How important is Juwan Jennings to what the 49ers do? Let's ask Greg Cosell, NFL Films. The Czar is next on Willie and Dibby.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
It's a big moment.
Huge.
A really big moment.
Why do I get nervous every time?
Because you get smashed.
Untrue.
You got PTSD over there.
I thought we went toe-to-toe quite nicely last year.
You didn't take all L's, just most of them.
I feel like I got a couple W's.
That's what I said.
A couple TKOs, though.
I'm so excited that we get to do this again next year.
Yeah, me too.
Or this year, I should say. And what we're all talking about here on Willard and Dibs is during the football season, talking to our guy. He is the man in charge over there at NFL Films and has been for years, and nobody breaks down tape any better. And that is the great, on the River Islands guest line, Greg Cosell, back for another season. Greg, how you been?
Did you guys miss me?
So much.
Terribly.
Well, that's good to hear, you know. So I'm back. We'll do this every week.
You're back. What do you do in the off season? Do you still break down tape?
Of course. I've probably seen about 90 to 100 guys already who'll be in next year's draft. And then I started going back and watching NFL tape from last year about 3 weeks ago because I can do it differently in the off season. You know, I don't have the deadlines that I do during the weeks of an NFL season. So, I do this all year round. I pretty much watch tape every day.
When you look at the Niners tape from last year, is it a tragicomedy or a horror film?
You know, it's you guys.
Welcome back, Greg.
You know, it's funny. I watched a lot of Brock Purdy. I've actually mostly focused on Purdy. I did because I knew he'd be a big story, you know, because of the contract situation. I did watch all of Juwan Jennings' targets. But that's what I mostly watched from last year. Plus, I rewatched some specific sides of a ball. Like I watched, I'm trying to remember now. Let's see. I watched the 49ers offense versus the Seahawks defense from week 11 because they opened the season against the Seahawks. So I also watched them against the Rams because I think they play them early in the season as well. So, you know, I go back and do those things because then I see it with a different eye when I watch it, you know, six, seven, 8 months later.
Greg, I'm so glad that you looked at all of Juwan Jennings' targets because, as you're probably aware, he has not performed at all in this training camp. And there is a debate over, or some curiosity, in terms of how much this is about a nagging calf injury and how much this is about a contract rework that he would like. And we still don't really have the answer to that question. But as we get closer to the season, I think this might be more about cash. And so it begs the question, how vital is he to what they do?
Well, he is vital to what they do, but what it begs the question, and you're seeing it, for instance, in Washington with Terry McLaurin, who's obviously got a bigger track record than Jennings, but the question is, how important is a receiver to his team versus where does he stand in the group of receivers in the league? Like, Jennings, to me, is very important to the Niners, but I don't think anybody's going to say that he's a top five receiver in the league. You know, when I watched all his targets, and I took a lot of notes, obviously. I didn't know that, you know, I was going to be doing you guys, so, you know, my notes were not about that. But I have a lot of notes on him. And, you know, I ended up by saying a couple of things. It's the perfect mix of receiver traits and pass game scheme. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. You know, there's a lot of reduced splits in the 49ers offense where the receivers line up closer to the formation. They're not split wide. So he worked from the slot quite a bit. He had 114 targets. 53 of those came from the slot. So that's almost half came from the slot. So he had a lot of what we call free access where he was not pressed. Now, he works between the numbers, which is the foundation of the 49ers pass game, extremely well. He's got size, he's got physicality, he's got competitive toughness. You know, he's physical as a route runner. He can work through contact when necessary. He's gets hard yards run after catch. He's a good receiver. You know, is and I don't know what he's asking for. I don't follow those kinds of things closely, guys. But, you know, you're not going to say he's in the category of Jefferson or Chase or Brown or C.D. Lamb or, you know, you're not going to say he's that guy. But to the Niners, he's very, very important. So I don't know what that means when it comes to salary.
Does he remain as important without Debo, where now he either has to be the boundary X or he has to play the Z and he'll have fewer snaps in the slot position?
Well, the question is, can he be a boundary X? Because one thing you did not see much of on his tape a year ago was him working one-on-one on the outside versus press man. You know, so can he expand his game to be that guy? And I think there'd be a question about that, you know, a legitimate football question. And, you know, I'm not sure we know the answer to that. But, you know, if you're going to pay a receiver big, big money, then you expect him to be able to line up at boundary X. And I'll give you an example of that. I had a great conversation with Steve Spagnuolo this summer. I've known Steve for years, and he was talking about the Eagles, who they obviously lost to in the Super Bowl, and he said that A.J. Brown might be the most important player on their offense because he can line up at boundary X and win one-on-one against anybody. You know, so those receivers, there's not a ton of those guys. So whether Jennings can be that guy, that would remain to be seen. And normally, there's few exceptions. There's always exceptions to every rule. But normally, you're not paying a receiver, in your mind, a team's mind, you know, that kind of money, that big money, unless he can fill that role.
Yeah, and so then the next question might be, for example, can Ricky Pearsall fill that role? Would love to know what you think about what you're seeing so far from him in this preseason.
Well, I like Ricky Pearsall. You guys know that, and I think that he's a good receiver as well. I'm not sure either one is a true boundary X, the single receiver to the short side of the field that can line up and, you know, consistently win one-on-one against the higher quality corners in the league. But the other thing to keep in mind is we know that Kyle Shanahan's offense is versatile in terms of formations and motions. And, you know, I don't know exactly how Kyle thinks about all this, but, you know, my guess is that he may not see that true boundary X as important as some other teams do just because of all that formation variation and the shifts and the motions, because they're among the league leaders in terms of percentage of plays that have shifts and motions. So, you know, I don't think either one would, Jennings or Pearsall would be ultimately considered, you know, a true boundary X. So, you know, we'll see. Look, I doubt Jennings is going to sit out the season. So at some point he's going to be there. You know, the question is he going to be ready to play week one?
Well, and then all that said, and how it might not be as important in a Kyle Shanahan offense, What if we asked it a different way? Like, do you think that Ricky Pearsall in this offense has the goods to kind of put up what their wide receiver one usually does?
Yeah, I think he does. And you know, see, that's the thing. We live in a league now, and again, people can say, well, a year ago there was a lot more running in the league, and we don't know where that's going. You know, it's tough to predict the future. But, you know, you live primarily in a league where passing is important. So there's a lot of receivers who make a lot of catches and put up yards. That doesn't mean they're big-time number ones, because, you know, that's the nature of the game is, you know, guys catch a lot of balls. So we'll see. But, you know, I think that Pearsall can be a guy that is a volume target, if that's what you're asking me. Again, that doesn't make him Justin Jefferson, but I think in the context of the offense, can he be a volume target? Probably so.
Yeah, and a team that runs almost more 21 personnel, two running backs, one tight end than anyone in football. So your need for three receivers is somewhat diminished. I want to ask you, Greg, about the defensive line, and in particular, a couple of the rookies, and what you saw on tape last year from the Niner run defense that led them to be so soft against the run, especially in those A and B gaps.
Well, that's why they drafted who they drafted. I think they told us how they felt about their run defense. I don't think we had a guess about that. You know, so obviously they drafted Collins in the second round from Texas, who's kind of a physical freak. But I've watched all his snaps in the preseason, and I think he's got some work to do in terms of his hand usage, in terms of how to play off blocks. He struggled at times with double teams, which did not surprise me. See, I think people, number one, need to understand that with few exceptions, this stuff doesn't happen overnight. There's a learning process. College football, well, I don't care if it's the SEC, it's still college football. It's different in the NFL. You know, but I think he's a guy that has traits, a ton of traits. I mean, he's 6'6", he's 330. If I remember correctly from doing my draft work, I think his arms are over 35 inches. So there's a lot there to like. And he showed some flashes in his, I think he played 44 snaps through the first two games. I've seen them all. And then they drafted C.J. West, I believe was that fourth round? He's another guy. He's a different kind of player. But I think down the road, he does have the ability to develop into a three technique, meaning that he's a penetrating type player. He's got some good quickness to him. You know, I think that he's got the athleticism in his body to do that. But, you know, this takes time. So we'll see how it all plays out. But obviously, they believe that they did not stop the run, which they didn't very well a year ago. And, you know, sometimes, you know, they're a four down defensive line. They're not a defensive line that does a ton of different alignments. I mean, obviously, there's always tweaks, and that depends on opponent as well. And every defensive line coach and D coordinator does have some different looks. But for the most part, they're a four down D line in normal down and distance situations. And, you know, guys sometimes have to get off blocks. That's the nature of the position. They've got to learn how to do that in the NFL. You know, C.J. West came from Indiana, but he played at Kent State before that. So, you know, this is a step up, and, you know, it'll probably take a little time.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, with us, as he will be every week throughout the NFL season here on Willard and Dibbs. While you're talking about those two guys, I think that we hear a lot along those same lines, where Alfred Collins, higher draft pick, but maybe might take a little bit more time. Do you see it that way? Like, will C.J. West contribute? Is he ready to contribute earlier?
It's possible, and I'll tell you why. You know, normally tall guys, and I think Collins has to fight this, a lot of tall defensive tackles do, the tendency to play too upright off the snap, because what that does is it negatively impacts both your short stroke strength and your initial quickness. And you really have to fight that when you're 6'5", 6'6", as a defensive tackle. You know, sometimes that can be hard to deal with. And that's something that he'll have to, I'm sure they're working with him on it, because, you know, as soon as you stand up straight, it doesn't matter how strong you are, how powerful you are, you're going to get moved.
How were DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead thus able to be as productive as they've been, being 6'6 and 6'7 respectively?
Well, Buckner is a little bit of a freak. I mean, he's, you know, we know he's been a great player. He's, you know, he's a little different in that regard. You know, Armstead, I think on occasion has that problem, but not enough where it derailed his career. You know, big guys do have a tendency to do that. Sometimes it's hard, you know, not to do that just because of your size and length. But Buckner, he's just, you know, he's had a great career. I mean, he's a, you know, he's probably not going to be a Hall of Famer, but he certainly had a great career. And Armstead has had a really solid career as well. So, you know, some guys can do it better than others, but tall guys do have that tendency.
Greg, while we're on the 49er defense, going from Nick Sorensen to Robert Saleh, how do you see that as changing the 49er defense this year?
That's hard to know right now because Robert Saleh's been in the league now a bit. I'm sure he's made adjustments. Look, he made adjustments when he was the 49er D coordinator previously because don't forget he came from the Seattle, that Seattle background with cover three, and then he started playing a lot more too high. So he made adjustments when he was previously the coordinator because the league demanded it. So that's a hard question to answer. The preseason games don't tell you much about that simply because, you know, they're not game planning there, you know, and they're not even playing necessarily their starters. Although I got to tell you, the kid Siegel, I really liked his college tape. He was one of my guys that I really, really liked on his tape, and I'm curious to see how it plays out when the season starts. But you know, that's hard to know right now, you know, what the difference. They're still going to be a four down front. You know, they'll still be a base 4-3 when they play base defense. They'll still be a, you know, a 4-2-5 nickel. You know, I don't know how much dime they'll play. My guess is not a ton. So, you know, I think in terms of personnel, they won't change dramatically. The question is from a coverage standpoint. And then you get into the blitz percentage, you know, and I don't think we know the answer to that right now.
Yeah, it was pretty low last year and yep, one of the fewest yep. Blitzing teams in football. I'm curious about your thoughts on Siegel a little bit more because the Niners safeties of late have been downhill, hard-hitting, run stoppers. Are these attributes that Siegel brings with him from college?
Well, he can play both on the back end and he can play in the box. He played some slot in college. He's a versatile player, you know, and that's the way he was deployed in college. So, you know, I found him to be a really intriguing player. You know, it's funny, guys like that always get lost in the draft because their physical and athletic traits are not quote unquote special. You know, he's not an explosive athlete. I can't even remember what round he was drafted in. In the fifth, okay. But I really liked his tape. I liked the way he played. I thought he showed up on tape all the time. And as I said, he played multiple spots in the context of, was it Kansas State? I'm trying to remember. Was he Kansas State?
Yes.
I watched so many guys. I forgot where he went to college, but I remember liking him a lot, and you know, I thought he could be a really good pro. You know, see, very often with defensive players, and I learned this really early on when I started out watching college players, and this goes back years and years and years. I used to think in terms of, well, he's either great or he can't play, and it took me a while to learn that. You know what? A lot of guys play on the defensive side of the ball in the league. Not everybody's an all-star. Not everybody's an all-pro. So what you do is you try to find out what guys do well, and then you put them in those positions. That's how you deploy them within the context of your defense. And he's a guy that does a lot of things well. You wouldn't say he's a star, like, oh my God, look at this guy on tape, he just blows you away. But he's versatile positionally and does a lot of things well.
Greg Cosell with us, NFL Films, here on 95.7 The Game. Greg, what have you seen from D. Winters so far in his career, and how do you feel about his opportunity to kind of take over the Dre Greenlaw role next to Fred Warner?
Well, I thought he played well last year down the stretch. I mean, I thought he showed up on tape. You know, I think he's a good athlete. I think he moves well. You know, I think he's theoretically kind of a similar player in the fact that, you know, not overly big, but more athletic than powerful. So in some ways, you have the same kind of player. Now, again, much of this depends on how Robert Saleh, who's probably going to do some different things than Nick Sorensen, how he's going to put all this together. You know, I can tell you right now, guys, and I know fans, for the most part, only get to see the games on TV. The games are the least important part of training camp. the least important part. You know, I've been fortunate in my career to be able to go to a lot of training camps and have a lot of access and see a lot of things. And I can tell you for a fact that the games are the least important part. So, you know, I can't answer exactly what happens on a day-to-day basis. You know, these guys get in at 6:30 in the morning. They have meetings. They practice. They have meetings. This is an all-day affair. And that's where really the work is done. You know, the games are, you know, especially when guys don't play that many snaps, the games are, like I said, the least important part of it.
You looked at the tape from Brock Purdy thoroughly last year. And super thoroughly, actually. I didn't want to undersell just how thoroughly your deep dive was. But when you reflect on his year last year, what are some of the takeaways that you have in areas where he needs to be a little bit better to get back to where he was 2 years ago?
You know, it's funny you say that. During the season, I can't watch, you know, 250 dropbacks in a row of a quarterback. You know, I have to each week watch games, you know, as many as I can. But in the off season, I can watch 250 dropbacks over a 2 or 3 day period. And I got to tell you, I came away thinking that Purdy's really good. Now, I thought there were times he left the pocket too soon, and I thought that was one of the things that at times, you know, he struggled with last year. But overall, I mean, to me, as a post-snap operator, in other words, when the ball snapped and it's in his hands, I think he's an outstanding post-snap operator. He sees the field intuitively. I think he's an elite processor. I think he creates timing and anticipation throws based on his immediate understanding of what he sees, and that allows him to throw with precise timing. You know, I came away after watching everything about him that he's a really, really good quarterback who truly understands how to play the position at the NFL level.
And you came away with that after watching the 6-11 season.
Yeah, because I'm not, you know, there's a lot of reasons why teams win and lose games, guys. Uh-huh. It's just everybody, you know that. Everybody thinks it's the quarterback or the coach is an idiot. You know how fans
of course.
Think about that stuff.
No, Greg, I kind of asked it that way because I want to hear you say it again so that it can marinate for a lot of our audience and even some of the national media personalities who are using that 6-11 to victory lap, that their points about Brock Purdy not being that good were right, even though they are categorically incorrect.
You know, there's a lot of different elements to playing quarterback, okay? Some guys play quarterback, you know, like I can tell you right now, here, I'll tell you this. I'm not going to tell you who told me, but a defensive coordinator in the league told me this, who's very highly respected. And he said, you know, Patrick Mahomes is not a very good progression reader. Now, okay, that's a coordinator that's played against him. So people listening to that might go, you know, you're crazy. You know, it's Patrick Mahomes. You know, people have different strengths. Is Brock Purdy going to do what Josh Allen can do? Is Brock Purdy going to put a team on his back and win a Super Bowl, quote unquote, by himself? Of course, no one does it by yourself, no matter who you are. But you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
You know, is he that kind of player? No. So some people might think then, well, then he's not in the top five. That makes him in the top 10 or 12 or 15, whatever list they want to choose. But when it comes to the subtleties and the nuances and the understanding of how to play the position, Brock Purdy is high level. Does he have a rocket arm? No. Is he the most athletic quarterback in the league? No. But he understands intuitively and innately how to play the quarterback position. You know, look, you guys, I'm sure, have talked ad nauseum going back to last year and probably through the summer about why the Niners were 6-11. You know, and there's many reasons for that. And it's not just Brock Purdy. In fact, he'd probably be one of the least important reasons.
It sounds like you've been listening to our show, Greg, and we appreciate that.
Well, I haven't been, guys. I'm sorry. Man, I actually don't, you know.
I mean, I actually
work, you know. And, you know, it's funny. I don't have a long ride to the office, and I'm just, you know, I this is not personal to you guys or anybody else, but, you know, I don't really listen to people talking to me in my car. I listen to music.
Oh, what kind of music?
I'm a classic rocker.
Yeah,
okay.
He is.
Give me three bands.
Well, Led Zeppelin's my favorite band of all time. You know, I love Southern rock. Like, I love the Allmans, I love Skynyrd. But other, like, you know, sort of blues rock bands, I was a big Deep Purple fan, Bad Company, you know, that kind of stuff. I was a big Tull fan.
Nice.
Ah, man.
Little Tom. Yeah. Throw in some toe and watch 250 snaps of Purdy.
The man loves Skinnerd and Purdy. I mean, Greg, that's how you get a weekly spot on this show.
I was a big Eagles fan, too. The band.
Not Philadelphia. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah.
Greg, we'll be talking to you soon. Thank you.
Hey, I can check out anytime I want, but I can never leave.
Oh, you know? There it is. Yes. Greg flipping Cosell for the win.
Greg, we'll do it again soon. We're already looking forward to it.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks.
There it is. Greg Cosell. And we're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. And
post-snap operator. He's a smooth operator.
How y'all like them apples from a non-49er fan, objective NFL Films tape diver? How you like all them apples?
Yeah.
Huh?
Uh-huh. 6-11 wasn't his fault, Mark. And I don't mean Greg, I mean Brock.
How come Colin Cowherd doesn't have Greg Cosell on the show?
How about that, Nick Rom?
Why don't we have some people that actually, I don't know, watch maybe come on the show.
Call your people and get them in control.
Not my people. Used to be my people. Not anymore. Anyway, okay. Coming up next, a few things to get to. Was it or was it not an actual report about the Golden State Warriors? There's that. It's National Radio Day. We have some things to do there. And also, we want to reintroduce today's code word that you will text to 20357 so that you can try to have your fantasy draft with us at Splash at Thrive City next Tuesday night. All of that is ahead on Willard and Dibs.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When it comes to the subtleties and the nuances and the understanding of how to play the position, Brock Purdy is high level. Does he have a rocket arm? No. Is he the most athletic quarterback in the league? No. But he understands intuitively and innately how to play the quarterback position. You know, look, you guys, I'm sure, have talked ad nauseum going back to last year and probably through the summer about why the Niners were 6-11. You know, and there's many reasons for that. And it's not just Brock Purdy. In fact, he'd probably be one of the least important reasons.
I'm not insulting Brock Purdy, but...
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I got 99 problems, and Brock ain't... One.
I somehow knew you were going to go right there.
You knew I was going to go there.
Because he wasn't, I mean, he wasn't the one.
I just, look.
Yeah, Greg did say, and he was right to say it, that there were times, especially early in the year, that he got out of the pocket too soon.
I agree. And I thought that was largely a result of, you know, we saw the analytics. The 49er receivers were not separating. And so you have a young quarterback who, when he's just like, you drop back and nobody's open and you take off. And actually, I would argue that is a characteristic of almost every young quarterback who runs well, even the ones who run really well, right? I mean, they said that about Lamar Jackson in his first few years.
Yep.
And then Lamar has turned into someone who I find when I watch him play, you know, whatever. He has his faults in the postseason or whatever, but he's refined. Like, I love his decision-making and kind of where he puts a defense. But anyway, everybody's opinion gets to still be their opinion. But I'm going to take that one with me.
You should.
I'm going to keep it. I'm going to put it in the fridge. We're going to keep it cold, and we're going to use it all year long.
Yeah, he looked at 250 snaps in a row of Brock because he can do that in the offseason, and he does, and he continues to be impressed by what he sees from Brock. The other piece of the conversation, which I found really fascinating, not to get too deep in the weeds of X's and O's, but the idea of a boundary X.
Yeah.
And the boundary X is the receiver who lines up opposite side of the tight end, which means you're going to be one-on-one with their best defender most of the time. Can Juwan Jennings be that guy? Well, last year he was in the slot a lot, which is the Z receiver. Can Pearsall be that guy? That becomes the $64 million question, because if it's not those two, who's going to be your guy who can be opposite Kittle and can get off of a five-yard jam, get open and make a play? Exactly.
Right. Might be Kuminga. That might be who it is.
All roads lead back.
No, but he also added that maybe that idea is not as important for the 49ers as it might be for other teams, as he talked about A.J. Brown's ability to do that in Philadelphia. And those are the kinds of football points that none of us tend to either know or care about, because they don't, and this is what he was saying, like, they don't lead to fantasy numbers. In fact, sometimes they lead to A.J. Brown reading books on the sidelines.
Right.
Like, he's ticked off about this idea, but the point is can he handle that number one defender and make the rest of the defense react to him? It does not always mean that he'll be the one that gets the ball, but can he sort of command their attention? And can Ricky be that? Maybe, maybe not, but that doesn't necessarily mean that all things are equal. Might not be as important for the 49ers. He did add that he thinks Ricky, like, if you're asking, can Ricky put up volume numbers? He thought yes.
A.J. Brown last year, 37th in the league in catches. One catch behind his teammate, who was 36th, and they won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So all teams are not created equally, and A.J. was their boundary X, and he wasn't out there getting Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase numbers. But
he could if he were on the Bengals.
Right, and he could if he was on a team that didn't have the best running back in decades and a quarterback who can also run and a phenomenal defense.
Yeah. I get that completely. So 888-957-9570, 95.7 The Game, and Splash at Thrive City, giving you a chance to host your fantasy draft party in a private room for you and up to 14 guests. The thing's going to be loaded with food, a dedicated server, and get this, Wi-Fi. All of that is going to happen next Tuesday night. We'll be there. We'll host our show there. We'll come make fun of your picks. This is all on the table all week long. All you have to do is text the code word to 20357. You can do it once a day for all 5 days this week. And today's word is draft. So if you text draft to 20357, you are in for today. You can try again tomorrow and Friday, and then at the end of the week on Friday afternoon, we will announce a winner, and then we will see you there next Tuesday evening. It is going to be a ton of fun.
Super fun, and if you're smart, then you keep it locked to Willard and Dibs, and you get in five different times, and that would make sure that you have five entries, so when we randomly choose, you're in the hopper as much as you possibly can be.
Exactly right. It's National Radio Day. We're celebrating. We've got some more things to discuss and stories to tell, but want to keep going with you. Candlestick Rick is in San Bruno next up. Hi, Rick. What are you doing?
Oh, my guys. You guys are on fire this afternoon. I'm loving it, my man. I'm over here chilling, doing my thing right now, but I got you guys locked in. I got you yocked in.
Yeah, right,
Rick. Nice.
On the River Island guest line, it's your boy, Candlestick. Let's get this money real quick. Hold on. So, the Howard Cosell interview, absolutely excellent. You guys killed it. You guys always come with a deep dive. Led Zeppelin, are you kidding me, from Howard Cosell? Oh, my Lord. Yes, sir. I'm loving it.
It is Greg Cosell. If it were Howard Cosell, it really would have been the most incredible interview of all time because he's no longer with us. But, yes, Rick, we get your point, and we thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
Okay. A couple last things before I send it off. Purdy is going to be on his redemption tour this year, hands down. I know he's ready. He's ready. He's locked in. He's yocked in, matter of fact. And he's a little, I think he's a little PO'd about last year. So he's coming. It's a lock. Purdy for 30 TDs this year and 11 wins for the 49ers. Let's lock it in. Let's lock it in. Give me the lock.
Boom.
Let's get it.
Let's go,
Thank
Rick.
You, Candlestick Rick.
Rick is on one today.
He's ready.
Yeah.
He is yocked
in. It's a
big day. Getting ready for the season. And
it's been fun today.
Howard Cosell, I believe, is Greg's uncle, if I'm not mistaken. Same family, but
yes.
You know, not his father. I do believe it's his uncle. He sounds a little bit like Howard used to sound, and he's got a similar look to him. And, you know, he's got incredible knowledge, more knowledge than his uncle did. His uncle was, you know, a journalist and brilliant and a man who had his oars in many different sports, waters, and Greg is just the film. Don't ask him what he thinks. Don't ask him for a prediction. What do you see, Greg?
Mm-hmm.
What do you see on that film?
No, if you want to tick Greg off, it's easy. All you got to do is be like, I mean, we could have done this.
I was going to at the end.
Dude, what do you think?
Who do you like winning
Parsons
the West?
Or Jerry Jones? Who's wrong? Just do that, and Greg will be like an AI bot that starts shaking with smoke coming out of his ears. You don't know what to do with that.
What's your Super Bowl prediction, Greg? Guys, you know I don't do predictions.
I don't do that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he is. What was the old Belushi thing? Just the facts, ma'am.
Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, just the facts. That's it.
That's it.
We're not doing opinion.
Right. And that's why
Except for that Brock Purdy's awesome.
Well, and that's based on him seeing 250 snaps while not listening to our show.
It's also because it's a fact.
Well, it's his expert opinion based on what he's seen
based
on the film.
Correct.
And yours is based on being the president of Brockistan.
It's based on the fact that I bought a t-shirt with Brock's face on it and I like to wear it.
Yeah.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
You see
yes.
This? This comes courtesy of Adam Schefter. The 49ers are trading for Chiefs wide receiver Sky Moore. Sky Moore, a former second-round pick 3 years ago, hasn't had much success, if any, in Kansas City.
Okay.
Sky Moore,
I can remember. Was it last year or the year before? He was like a sexy sleeper fantasy pick that people thought was going to pop, and he didn't. So there you go. The 49ers trade for a receiver right here as we've been discussing this all afternoon. Sky Moore is 24 years old. He's been with the Chiefs his entire career, and Grandy's not wrong. This is somebody who has 43 career receptions, over a period of three full seasons in Kansas City. Though last year, he only played six games, was targeted three times, and never caught a ball. But the 2 years before that, he was a part-time receiver over a full season for both years, and so he would get in there and, you know, get a few catches here and there. He had about 20, 21, 22 catches. So he's kind of a guy that averages about a catch, catch and a half per football game for a couple seasons, and then last year did not do much. So he was somebody who was thought to be a bit of a prospect, not a big guy. He's 5'10", a little bit less than 200 pounds, but the 49ers bolster the receiver room, and again, my read on this is that it does have something to do with not just, but somewhat to do with Juwan Jennings. Like, again, you've got injuries all over the place. Cowan goes down yesterday. Still don't know the severity. Watkins is out. The Brandon Ayuk situation. We've now got clarity on DeMarcus Robinson. It's a three-game suspension. That was announced today. And Juwan still hasn't started practicing. So what does all that mean? Well, yeah, it means you need more receivers. But they don't just sign someone off the street. They trade for someone, which suggests that they're planning on him being around for a little while.
Yeah, and I just saw from Rap Sheet Ian Rappaport that the compensation is a sixth-round, seventh-round swap. I would assume the Niners give up a sixth and get a seventh back along with Sky Moore.
That's correct.
You go ahead and move on back. The other thing about Sky Moore, just looking at his numbers, in his rookie year, he returned 14 punts.
Interesting.
And he's returned five kickoffs in his career. Last year, he was limited due to a core muscle injury. So that's what kept him out of a lot of games. And when he did return, you mentioned he wasn't targeted a lot. And, you know, Kansas City wasn't really in that much of a need of an additional wide receiver. So Sky Moore was just kind of there. And reading the tea leaves, you come into this camp and he's healthy, and they're willing to part with him for just a late-round swap, tells me that he may not have even made their team, or he would have been buried again on the chart.
Right, right. By the way, I was just looking at this. Is there anybody on the San Francisco 49ers roster currently who can battle Sky Moore in terms of Super Bowl rings? Anybody on the roster currently who can battle Sky Moore on the subject of Super Bowl rings? Sky has two.
Does anyone on the Niners have one? Would
anyone
be the follow-up question.
Anyone?
I'd have to look deep. Was DeMarcus Robinson a Rams when they won it back in 21?
I don't think so, but I'm not 100%
sure. That's the first one I thought of as somebody who might have found his way into one.
And I mean, there's John Lynch.
Right, but that doesn't count. He's, you know, in the front office.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Robinson does have a ring.
Okay. Oh, look at me.
All right. Look at that.
And Kyle Shanahan won one in it. Oh, wait. I'm being told that they didn't hold that 28-3 lead.
Why did you?
Because it's comedy, and it's comedy aimed toward a certain audience. Yeah, Dibs, they blew that lead. Freaking idiot. Yes, I know, which is why I stopped the joke.
By the way, I think you're victory lapping your DeMarcus Robinson Super Bowl ring in the wrong Super Bowl.
I'm just going with what Grandy said. And
he
Grandy
didn't win it with the Rams, did he? He won it with the Chiefs.
All I said was he has a ring.
Yeah, I think he was on the Chiefs team that beat Garoppolo.
I believe I said DeMarcus Robinson as
and
an
then
answer.
You said, was he on the Rams?
Yeah, he was. Those are two different things.
You're right. He was on the Chiefs team.
It was on the Chiefs.
I just saw Super Bowl champion and didn't even do any deeper of a dive.
I just want to throw that out there. Yeah, he was only with the Rams.
You said, can anyone rival his two? I said, has anyone even won one?
Correct.
And you said, huh? And I said, my first guess would be DeMarcus Robinson.
That's not
Wasn't
what
he on the Rams?
Yeah, there you go. So there's an insinuation. I'm not trying to take your win from you.
No,
it's a
you
win.
Are. This
yeah,
is
you
what
are.
You do.
You
no,
are.
I'm not.
This is what you do, and then Grandy hits the buzzer, and I get pissed off.
Hit the buzzer. You said
I didn't hit a buzzer.
Wasn't he on the Rams?
And he was.
Not for the Super Bowl.
But he was on
That's
the Rams.
That's not what you were saying.
That's not what I
That's
wasn't not
so
saying.
So inauthentic.
He was also on Baltimore. I didn't mention that.
They didn't win the Super Bowl.
Exactly right. Neither did the Rams.
He was on
when
the,
he was on the Rams.
He was on the Raiders, too. And we know they didn't win a Super Bowl.
Was he?
Yeah.
I don't see that in his game log.
Well, I didn't say he played a game. I said he was on the Raiders.
It's interesting you say that because Lorenzo Neal, thus, was also on the Raiders, even though he never played for the Raiders and he never made it out of camp with the Raiders.
He spent an offseason with the Raiders before being released in August.
There you go.
Then he wasn't on the Raiders.
He was on the Raiders.
He was in camp with the Raiders.
Did he ever get a check from the Raiders?
Doesn't mean you're on the Raiders.
Yeah, then you were on the Raiders.
It doesn't mean that you're on the Raiders if you just get a check from the Raiders.
He caught four passes in two preseason games as a Raider.
He was on the Raiders. That was making money right there.
Chris Kocurek gets a check from the Niners. Is he on the Niners?
Well, no, that's after the fact.
I rest my case.
No, that's after the fact. He got checks while he... Why are we doing this?
Anyway, Sky Moore.
Just give the buzzer to Willard.
Hang on. Well, I didn't say anything incorrect.
Sky Moore, great signing.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ-FM at HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of Sky Moore and the Golden State Warriors and the Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. We're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.